2011, my adult daughter, Eureka, and I were having coffee at the base of Mont Tremblant in Canada, where my younger son snowboarded at a ski school on the slopes above us. Suddenly, a call. My 9-year-old son, Eric, was being brought down by the ski patrol with a concussion and a possible spinal injury. I sprinted to the ski station, yelling to Eureka to keep my other son, Kaya, and bring him to the hotel. Seeing my slender son strapped down, immobile, my heart pounded, and horrific scenarios appeared in quick succession in my mind. We were transported to the hospital for tests. I smoothed his matted red hair off his brow, careful not to touch the neck brace. Repeatedly, I replaced the terrible thoughts that snowballed in my mind with Tai's mantra. Breathing in, I know I am breathing in. Breathing out, I know that I am breathing out. I continued to repeat these words silently. Eric complained he needed to use the toilet, but he was not sure they would let him get up, so I suggested he not think wet thoughts. We smiled wanly. I realized then that all I had was that very moment, that shared instant with him. If we had no normal moment, I would not waste this one in fear, nor the next. I pressed his hand, saying, "No matter what, it will be okay, Harry." I distracted him from his discomfort by telling him stories of how herders believed there were spirits under the dry dunes in Mali and how they protected themselves with amulets. I told him how afraid I had been after my scoliosis operation, lying in a body cast like his, and how great it had felt when I finally got to stand up and walk. He would too. We both avoided the story for that moment of how this had happened to him. During silences, I drew on my 20 years of practice and grounded myself in my breath to hold the fear as it rose and faded. Fear could have flooded me and taken me to some imagined and horrible Eric future of wheelchairs, breathing tanks, and a shortened life, if I let it. That fear would have taken me away from my son, who rested next to me in the here and now. I returned to my breath hundreds of times in the 6 hours it took me them to diagnose a severe concussion, but no paralysis. Finally, we were given a bottle so he could pee in. Later, nurses returned to unstrap him. After more tests and hours, we were allowed to go home. Eureka and Kaya hugged Eric gingerly. That night, I went to bed more grateful for his health than ever, and grateful for the fact that I had been there fully for and with him. Thich Nhat Hanh says that when we encounter difficult emotions, we can return to our body, as our suffering child is calling us. By going back to my breath and feeling the fear arise, I can hold it. I can touch the fear and then let it go repeatedly, as I did in the hospital that day.
So I have a lot of gratitude to my friend Indra for sharing this story and working with us to produce the book, especially as a parent. And I want to give a special shout out to our singer for that first song. I'm sorry, I forgot your name already. David? Right, David, you made me cry. That was a beautiful song, and it really seemed to fit what we're talking about here, so thank you. if you feel worry and you feel anxious, you feel fear about the future, I have good news. This means you're human. We have what is often referred to as a reptile brain, the early human brain that developed as we were evolving, more formally referred to as the amygdala. And it's programmed to react intensely to uncertainty and perceived danger. That's for self-preservation. That has kept us going for thousands of years and many generations. But I have more good news, which is we also have a thing called a frontal lobe. That's for choosing not to dwell in fear all the time. The future will always be a mystery, no matter what we do. The future is not here yet. We don't know what's going to happen. We have a choice. Engage frontal lobe. We have a choice. We can frame that mystery negatively. Oh dear, I don't know. What if? What if? As Yinder demonstrated. When we do that, we strain and we struggle. We stress. We overwork ourselves. We become unhappy and sometimes unhealthy in that practice. The other choice is to frame the mystery of the future positively. We get to find out. We get opportunities to grow and learn. When we do that, we know that we can rest and be present right now. And we can find peace and joy in this moment that we do have. And that can bring us happiness. That framing comes from training, from practice. Mindfulness is often called a practice for a reason. As you noticed me with the bell, I'm still practicing. I coach a soccer team of 13 and 14-year-old boys, including my lovely son. And they have heard me often say to them, what we practice, we become. That's true with everything we do. Mindfulness is a practice. It's intentional. It's repeated. When we do that, when we return to our breath and see what is in this moment, who we're with, what is around us, we can really enjoy that gift of mystery, of not knowing about the future, because that uncertainty about the future is what reminds us to come back and be present here with the people or the not people, with the nature, with the book, with the carrots we're cutting, anything. Yindra did this in her story. You may have noticed. She did the worry. She did the, oh my gosh, about the future. And then she remembered her practice of just breathing in. I know I'm breathing in. The one thing we always have with us. We can lose money. We can lose our jobs. We can lose people. We always have our breath. That is the one thing that we can rely on. Yindra did this over and over again in the hospital room with Eric. And they were able to smile and laugh and make silly jokes and feel gratitude in the midst of a really tough situation. Fear arose. They did it again. Because it's a practice, and we just keep practicing, we keep trying. That practice creates peace in ourselves and peace in the world. This is one of my favorite things that Thich Nhat Hanh used to talk about. Peace in oneself peace in the world. It's not a chicken or egg situation. Even though we've been puzzling over that. Peace in oneself, peace in the world. When we practice. Cultivating peace in the present moment. And enjoying the wonder of what we don't know. Or sitting with the wonder of what we don't know. We help ourselves and we enable others to find peace too. I don't need to know what happens next to be a kind human right now. I can be okay not knowing. I just need to keep practicing.